a place to move before the November 1st deadline?
The powers that be have said that they are in hot negotiations for a location. So it's so hot that they want to be quiet so that it doesn't ruin the negotiations. So
That sounds encouraging.
I am very encouraged. And we will, all the county is closed tomorrow because of a furlough day on Monday, but we'll be back open on Tuesday through Saturday. But definitely it's a good day to come down to the shelter today. We're open till 6.
Yeah, beautiful sunny day. You're open till 6.
And we're also up at Barktoberfest, too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So KCACC will be represented at Barktoberfest. That's at the Academy of K9D Behavior today from noon to 3.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you're interested in Liza, you can call them at 206-296-7387. You can go to www.marthanorwalk.com, click on Current Events, and you can see Liza's picture. So if you want a talkative little black kitty, she's apparently lovely. So yeah. Somebody needs to get down there and adopt her. Nance, thanks again.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again next week.
All right.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. That wraps us up for the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. But we continue until noon, so stay with us. We're going to turn this right around and another full hour with Helen and Bill. We'll find out what's coming next. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World has been brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 AM or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Do you know how, for so many people, there is so much information out there today, they don't know where to start when they want to find something that's interesting to them? What Pam and I have done is we've created a unique radio show specifically targeted to women and the men who love them, designed to focus on helping them to learn, grow, change their lives, and have some fun.
Join Rochelle and I every Tuesday through Friday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on KKNW 1150 a.m. or chatwithwomen.com. You'll be glad you did.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha. Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, you can be in touch with us in a few different ways while we're on the air. And by the way, if you'd like to call in, you've got a question for Helen and Bill, we would be delighted to hear from you. If you want to just tell Sandy what you'd like to know about, if there's something you want more detail, we've got this full hour to talk with them. So let us know if there's something in particular you want to know about. And the phone numbers, local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. If you are outside of our local calling range, the free toll-free number is 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. And, of course, you can send us an email to our live email address. It means that we get it here in the studio. And pretty simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Of course, you can be in touch with Animal World anytime through the Animal World website, which is www.marthanorwalk.com. Lots of good stuff for you there. Links to all of our advertisers on the homepage, links to the audio archive on the homepage so you can listen to past shows. Click on current events for the current events and pets of the week. Click on shelters for all of the great shelters and rescues, and click on services for all kinds of good stuff. And there's entertainment and there's education. There's all kinds of great stuff there for you. Now, you can also send an email to me that will get to me at my home office through the website. There's a contact Martha link, or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. If you are looking for my services as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, need to work that I know that I work with people either over the phone or privately in your home with you and your animal friends, I do not work via email. Now, you certainly can make a first contact that way and send me an email with history and information, but I would prefer to speak with you. And if you or anyone you know has behavior or training or healing issues with their animal friends, I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation. So it's always worth calling me. I might be able to solve your problem quickly and free in a couple minutes on the phone. And if I'm the right one to work with you, I'll tell you how I work and what's involved. And if I'm not the right person, I probably know who is, and I'll send you on. So give me a call at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling. My phone number is 206-525-2016. That's 206-525-2016. And remember, the best way to get me is bug my voicemail, especially now, selling my house, getting ready to move, all that stuff. I'm kind of crazy, and the squeaky wheel is getting the grease. So if I've got 5 minutes and I can make a phone call, whoever called the most is going to get the first call. So be sure and bug my voicemail. Now, if you are submitting a current events item, please do so via email. It's much easier for me to get to the webmaster that way. And otherwise, if you would like to mail something to Animal World, our current mailing address is 4012 41st Avenue Northeast, Seattle, Washington, 98105. Now, if you're looking to get a hold of Sandy, she is reachable through her website, www.animalnature.com, animalnature.com, or you can call her at 206-200-6536. That's 206-200-6536. Now, if you want more information about Helen Thayer and Bill and their treks, if you want to know about the Adventure Classroom, you want to get an autographed copy of one of their three books, go to their website, which is www.HelenThayer.com. And then you can find the stubborn Gary Hill on Sports Tangle Monday evenings from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And maybe you could call him up during the show and say, hey, you know, maybe you could be a little more open-minded. No one's going to do that. No one's going to do that? Oh, are you daring them now? Oh, it's a dare. Gary's putting out a dare. And yeah. Tomorrow evening, Sports Tangle. Do you take phone calls on your show? No, he's got a mouth full of what he feels like it. Oh, I see. Yeah, see, I think you should call him up, folks. So, you know, you could be a little more open-minded. Play the Huskies for Martha. She'd do it for you.
He's shaking his head. He says no.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Talk about a recycled teenager. The worst parts. That would be it. Okay. I think that's enough for contact information. We will get back to our guests. Helen and Bill Thayer are here. And what a terrific team you guys have made. You've been married, what, 48 years?
Yes, 48 years last July 1st.
And you're proud of how your age at this point, because you don't have any problem talking about it. 72 and 83. It's unbelievable the stories and what you have done, what you're planning on doing, is coming out of the mouths of 72 and 83 years olds. And I swear, you guys look younger than we do. And you look better every time you come in. Because, I mean, you do, well, what Bill and I were talking, you do a lot of practicing for the treks you go on.
That's right. We train a lot.
So what is your training? What do you do to train?
Well, we have a gym in our basement where we lift weights and so forth. We have a very good stretching routine. But we live in the foothills of the Cascades, so we're close to all those wonderful high mountain trails. And we usually do the high trails during the week when there's not too many people around. And where we go, there's not many people anyway. And so we take on the more difficult, steeper and longer trails. And that keeps us really fit, really fit.
And you do? How often do you do those kind of treks?
At least 2 days a week. And then
at least 2 days a week. And then so how many miles do you trek on these?
Well, we might do 12, 13, 14, or 15 miles or so in a day. And that's the more difficult mountain miles. And so we get along at a good pace, and it's good training. But it's also, it's a place we want to be. It's peaceful and it's out there in the environment, and the Cascades are so beautiful. We consider ourselves very fortunate.
So it doesn't, it's not work to you?
No. It's just sheer pleasure.
Sheer pleasure. Wow. Fabulous.
And on day hikes, we usually take two of our dogs.
Take with you on the
yes,
track.
Yes, so they can get.
And do you, when you go on these treks, do you carry stuff with you, like backpacks or sleds? I mean, because you're usually dragging something with you.
Well,
on
our expeditions, like in the Cascades, of course, we're just backpacking. But on our expeditions, if we're up in the polar regions, we'll be pulling sleds. If we're in the rainforest, we're usually kayaking. So everything is stuffed in the kayak, and we'll have just a small day pack with us. In the deserts, so far we walk 1,500 miles through the American deserts. We walk the entire length of Death Valley, and that's backpacks. In the Sahara and Gobi Desert, well, we had two camels. We took two camels, but we always walk or kayak.
So as a matter of course, when you're doing your practice treks during the week, do you carry and drag stuff on general principles?
No, if we're training for a polar journey, we fill a child's plastic sled full of cement and haul it up.
Full of cement?
And we haul it up and down steep grassy hills, and we train accordingly. If it's kayaking, of course, we're out on the lakes kayaking really hard.
And that would be upper body strength,
yes,
wouldn't it, and arms?
Yes.
So you lift extra weights getting ready for a kayaking
That's
track.
That's right. And so we tend to fine-tune our training according to what we're going to do. In Africa, we'll be doing a lot of trekking, so it's the walking, the hiking.
So that's what you're doing
and
now?
And the weight training and the hill climbing. We do a lot of hill work.
So we talked about last summer you did the Amazon thing. That was for a couple of months.
Yes.
And then any treks?
Well, we've gone to Alaska twice since we saw you, to trek in the Alaskan bush, again looking at climate change, because it's huge changes going on in Alaska and northern Canada. The permafrost is melting in places.
Now, I've heard some of the stuff I've read and some of the stuff we've reported on in Animals in the News has been that it seems that the extremes of global warming are happening more at the poles.
They're more obvious.
Are they?
Yeah,
so
more
is
obvious.
Is that what you found?
Trees at the tree line, northern tree line, are starting to disappear. and other species from cooler climates are starting to move north. And the permafrost is melting in places.
That's not a good thing, right?
No, because it releases methane gas, which, of course, increases the greenhouse effect. And that's very serious because the roads, bridges, and houses and buildings, they buckle and move about because underneath what
they
was
were
solid,
built on frozen ground.
That's right. What was solid now is starting to disintegrate. And so it's having a huge effect. But another effect is right on the coastline where the polar ice cap, the ice covering the ocean, is thinner, it's melting, because the ice is not so thick, when the storms come sweeping across the polar ice cap, normally that ice would sort of hold the waves down, basically. Now, with the lack of ice or the thinner ice easily broken up, those waves can crash on shore, and the water, of course, the water level is higher. So many of those northerly villages are going to have to be moved inland, and that's going to cost a tremendous amount of money, plus disrupt native people's lives. They have to come in farther inland to get away from the water and the waves and the storms and that sort of thing.
Now, a question is occurring to me. When you're talking about the ice cap melting and the ice getting thinner and all of that, I'm wondering, we go back way back, well, what would be, what, 22 years since you made that that solo trek to the magnetic North Pole. Would you be able to make that same trek today, or would it be much more dangerous? Would the ice be thinner? I mean, what's happening like in that area? Do you know?
The ice is getting thinner, and there's more open water. That's definitely true. Sometimes the storms now, they've struck some extremely violent storms. So things are changing, and it's getting more difficult to go to the poles now. There are changes. And, of course, the animal that we're most concerned about is the polar bear.
And what do you see happening with them?
Well, there have been instances of some polar bears drowning because they've had to swim so far. And they're wonderful swimmers, but they can only go so far. And then there's and of course, their top of the food chain is all of the other animals. Are the seals going to survive? And all these other animals that depend on this cold Arctic climate, are they going to survive?
All right. Well, with that question in mind, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Then we'll have another big, huge chunk of time that will be uninterrupted, and we'll find out more about what's going on, what they found out on these treks to Alaska. And then we'll get to where they're going next, which we already know that's Africa, but we'll find out more about that. So stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know, even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole-natural raw food sources. They've figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you open it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats. There is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like house rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula, and Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So please ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or you can go directly to Designing Health. You can call them at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387. Or go online to www.designinghealth.com.
What is the Canada way? Pet foods that deliver superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and naturally preserved. Canada's All Life Stages grain-free formula provides 80% meat protein with human-grade chicken, turkey, lamb, and fish.
20% vegetables and fruit, and zero grains for wholesome nutrition and increased energy levels. Superior palatability, digestibility, and nutritional benefits. Discover why dogs love Canaday. Available at a pet food retailer near you. Go to Canaday.com for more information.
Robin Alexis has channeled a new energy portal called the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. You can check out the information about this new energy portal on her website, robinalexis.com. Click on the large button on the right side of the website that says, "Are you guided by your higher self?" Click here to visit the Sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal. Your experience here will mend your soul's heart and recalibrate your senses to the divine. In addition to receiving access to the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal, your subscription will include a copy of the ebook Robin Song. Access to the special priority forum for subscribers only, to read and to post into, and access to the special calendar for subscribers only to learn about special meditation events that will only be for those who have subscribed. For more in-depth information, check out the Mary Magdalene Reiki Energy Portal on Robin's website, robinalexis.com. It's Robin's hope that future generations will continue to bathe in the light of this sacred Reiki Healing Energy Portal.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World, and hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're visiting with Helen and Bill Thayer, two of our most popular guests here on Animal World, and they are adventure travelers. They do the adventure classroom through Helen's website. You can find out more about it, www.helenthayer.com. Helen is the author of Polar Dream, which is the story of her solo trek to the magnetic North Pole. She's the only woman to have ever done that successfully.
Yes, and the only woman to have ever gone without snowmobiles, dog teams, and on foot.
It's quite an honor to have that title. And then Three Among the Wolves, the second book, the story of Bill and Helen and their wolf dog Charlie, who helped Helen on her trek to the polar to the North Pole, and that story of them living with the wolves for a year up there. And then, of course, Walking the Gobi, the story of their Gobi Desert trek. And another book coming out. Do we know when the Charlie's stories are coming out?
Well, I'm hoping it's. I was hoping to have it out by this Christmas, but I haven't been home long enough to finish.
So to finish it, okay.
But I'm hoping next spring.
All right. Well, you of course will let us know, and hopefully we'll have you back before then. But we were talking about. You've been up to Alaska a couple of times since the last time you were here and looking at the environmental changes and climate changes and so forth. And I had asked you, I said, would you be able to make that trek to the North Pole again? And I said I'd be concerned about falling through the ice. And you just told me that a woman did.
They found her ski tracks up to the edge of some very thin ice, and that was it. No, nothing further on. She'd gone into the water and disappeared. And so it is getting thinner, and of course this poses a huge problem for the polar bears, because polar bears need that ice as a hunting platform. And if it's not strong enough to support their weight, or if it's not there at all, then and so polar bears
can't just tread water forever.
No, they can't do that, and they don't hunt on land. And if they did evolve into an animal that could compete with the grizzlies on land, that wouldn't work out at all, because there's not enough food for both species. And the whole process of climate change is happening so fast that polar bears simply can't change that. Their change isn't fast enough to keep up with it, with the climate change. And so the polar bear future looks very, very grim.
That's really sad, because we don't know even if we, on a global basis, made the changes we need to curb global warming. Would it be enough? And is there time?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Is it enough? Is there time? And of course, in Alaska, there's the idea that wolves need to be shot. And they're not even too anxious to protect polar bears either. So.
Well, this is a whole different mentality with a lot of people up there.
Yes. They see wolves as a nuisance, to where they will kill the caribou and moose, and they feel that if you can get rid of all of the wolves, then there will be more caribou and moose for hunters. So it's all about money. People, and a lot of them from the lower 48 and from overseas, going in there paying a lot of money for hunting licenses, taking their money into Alaska. But then, of course, if you don't have predators, the same thing will happen there as happened in Yellowstone. That's why they had to bring the wolves back to Yellowstone, because the herds had no predators. So they started eating themselves out of house and home. And of course,
to be a balance.
That's right.
In nature.
These animals, they start to starve, and then they become ridden with diseases, parasites. So you must. That's why predators are here. They have a very important place in the food chain.
Because they take the sick and the old and the dying, and usually the weaker of the species. They keep the species strong.
Well, we've actually watched wolves. We walked with the Western Arctic caribou herd, 500,000 animals. We trekked with them on their migration, and we watched wolves at work, and they just follow along with the herd. The herd doesn't take an awful lot of notice of them, but what the wolves are doing are just watching, and then they'll notice the animals that are drifting back, that are slower. These are the ones that are sick or old, and so the wolves will sort of drift back with them. Then the next thing is the hunt is on. But when the wolves are up among the healthy, fast, agile animals, they're just trotting along with them. They're not going to do anything to them. But as they drift back with those animals that are gradually losing ground, that's what the wolves are watching for. So they're not in taking the top animals. It's actually the hunters that take the trophy animals. They deplete the
gene pool. Yeah, because one could argue, well, we don't need the wolves as predators because we as mankind can be predators. Mm-hmm. The problem is that mankind as predator doesn't do the same thing a wolf does. We don't want the sick and the old and the dying. As you said,
that's right.
We want the trophy mm-hmm. animals, the healthiest mm-hmm. and most magnificent mm-hmm. of the species. And that, of course, messes up the detail. That reminds me of what's going on with cougars in our state. Because when we allow... we've been told that, well, the cougar population needs to be controlled, so we need to allow hunters to hunt and use the dogs and all of that kind of stuff. But the hunters aren't culling the cougar in the way that is helpful in terms of taking the weak or the sick and all of that. Once again, they want the trophy animals. So they
take the
magnificent males.
Yes.
And then what we are left with is the adolescent teenage male cougars running the show, which no one has taught them what life is all about, so they start causing a whole lot of trouble.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
And it's just a major problem.
Yes, it's very, it's becoming a real problem, humans interacting with these wild animals. We're in their territory. The animals don't understand that, and they're trying to live, and then they're perceived as a nuisance, so then they're killed. In many cases, though, the wildlife people are doing a good job of gathering them up and taking them away. The only problem is when you take a wild animal, so perhaps from the outskirts of Bellevue or somewhere, and put them up somewhere in the Cascades, well, now they're intruding on another animal's domain,
mm-hmm.
and that
mm-hmm.
causes problems.
That's why when we've had our regular Department of Fish and Wildlife officers in, and we have the guys that come in that are handling the Carillion bear dogs to help manage, you know, and educate wildlife to stay mm-hmm. away from humans. And they, of course, have shared with us that their preference is not to relocate these animals for exactly that reason.
That's
They've
right.
got to go into somebody else's territory. They're unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't often work when we have this wonderful picture. We think of hauling them off to the Cascades and they live happily ever after. The wildlife guys say that isn't necessarily the case,
no.
which is why we need more of the Carillion bear dogs to educate these animals, and we need to stop killing the trophy animals, because they're the adults that educate the youngsters.
That's right, and they're the
you know,
ones
to stay
that
away from humans and so
they're
forth.
They're the ones that put most into the gene pool to keep the species strong.
Yeah.
Plus educate the adolescents that are coming along.
Exactly, and that we need to do more management with the, like the Carilion bear dogs, mm-hmm. to educate these bears, you know, to stay away,
yes.
from areas and so forth. But it just seems that we just have the detail all messed up.
Well, in Alaska, they're poisoning, they lay out poison for wolves. Well, of course, they're poisoning a lot of other species along with them. And so it's...
And this is all to support the hunting.
Mm-hmm. They're having the same problem in Africa with the lions. Lions will come in and kill a domestic animal, so the people will put out poison, and so anything that comes along to eat that carcass will die.
So
and
that
other
leads
lions
to,
will
and
die.
That, so that's the trek that you're planning now.
Yes,
is to Africa.
Yes, to live with the Maasai people in Tanzania.
All right, so when is this going to happen? Do we know?
Next month. We're only about 3 weeks away from leaving.
Okay, so how long will you be gone?
At least a month.
All right, and you usually plan your trips and make plans ahead of time.
Yes, and this one is, in a way, a reconnaissance journey for a much longer one later on. We're going there now to see what we need to do in the future in the same area. And how long should we spend on a future expedition, and what we can expect.
So this is the trial run, so to speak?
Yes, just to see what is available and what we need to prepare ourselves for the future. What can we glean in the way of indigenous people, such as the Maasai? We'll be visiting one of their schools, and we'll be living in with the Maasai and traveling with them. on foot.
So how did you find out about them? How do you make arrangements ahead of time?
Well,
do you guys send email?
We just sort of let it sit for a while, and then eventually someone will give us a clue that somebody knows something about this area, and oh, do you know this, or do you know anybody this? And then little clues along, then those clues develop into contacts, and then we contact those people who know the area well.
Uh-huh.
And then, because Africa's a very difficult place, you can't just trek just anywhere. The government rules don't allow you just to trek right across country just anywhere that you want to. There are certain
rules and regulations. Because when you're doing the China thing,
yes.
the difficulty
yes.
was negotiating with the
mm-hmm.
government and getting
right.
permission to do that
and
kind
in,
of stuff.
In Africa, you just
and
don't,
it's the same way in Africa? You have to go yes, through the
and
same
you
kind
don't
of
just
rigmarole?
Set you just don't set your tent up in the middle of the savannah somewhere, because the next
okay.
thing is a pride of lions will be surrounding you, and you know that's not good for your health.
Right.
And so you have to really know what you're doing, and part of that is going ahead on this journey and seeing what's there as a reconnaissance, getting ourselves ready to go back, because we want to study the Maasai, their way of life, their beliefs and why they're doing this and that, and the animals, the environment, the school system. We want to come back with everything. So it will probably take it will take 2 or 3 journeys there to really get it down right. And then in February, we'll be doing the same thing with the Western Sahara. And we're going in and living with the Berber tribe.
Now, you said that's going to be in January?
In February. And in the Western Sahara, in this particular area, the water tables are dropping dramatically because there's less snow in the Atlas Mountains to drain down into the underground water tables. And so the water tables are dropping so much that these people are just about on the verge of having to move right away. So we want to see what climate change is doing. The same with Tanzania. There's a tremendous drought going on, perhaps not as severe in Tanzania, but certainly in Kenya and Ethiopia. And we want to see, for our own information, is what's really happening there. What is happening to the people and the animals? Because the effect is really quite serious. It's getting more so. It's really, really bad. They need rain desperately. So
yeah,
there's a lot of there's so much for us because of Adventure Classroom. There's so much for us to learn and bring back. We need to make sure that we do a reconnaissance journey and then go back again.
Okay, I'm wondering, so I'm thinking about Walking the Gobi, the book and that stories. I remember that you had a lot of negotiating to do with mm-hmm. the Mongolian
with the government. It was very difficult for us to get
because
permits.
Because the fact of the matter is they thought you'd die. They didn't think you guys could walk across the Gobi.
Especially as we went very, very deep into the Gobi. We didn't just skim across the northern border, which is where some tourists will go down to a small city there called Dazalangad. It's the most desperate of towns. It's awful place. It's not the real Gobi. People say, oh, tell us, oh, we've been to the Gobi. Well, where did you go? We know that they just went to the northern reaches of it. And that's why we had to go very, very deep down into the Gobi where very few people live because it's so difficult. But that's where the people are still living that ancient lifestyle.
And that's where you wanted to go. But the Mongolian government wasn't real wild about giving you guys permission to do this because they really didn't want to be responsible for two stupid Americans frying to death in their desert.
And they've had people go into the desert and they've been found later on dead of thirst and so forth. But we
you
were
convinced
able to
them.
Because we had already walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara, and we'd walked 1,500 miles through the American deserts. Bill was raised in Needles, California, in the Mojave Desert, so we were well prepared, and we finally did convince them. Of course, we wouldn't have taken it on if we didn't feel that it was completely survivable.
Now, how does doing what you're going to do in Africa compare to the Gobi thing? Are you going to be doing treks? And
yes.
You know, it's the same kind of climate, isn't it? It's hot and all of that.
No, not
as
severe.
Will you be in as much danger
as
you would
be? No, it won't be nearly as severe climate-wise.
Okay.
And we'll be okay for water and food and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be working with the Maasai. And making sure that we know the rules, not only the government rules of where you can trek and where you can't trek, where you can camp and where you can't camp, because many of their national parks, you can't camp in them or trek in them. So we have to know that. Plus, we also have to understand that we'll be in Maasai land. And we need to know their rules. What would you allow us to do? And so the best way to go there is find out and work with them, live with them, and get to know their ways and what their thoughts on it, and then go back and then do a larger, longer journey and get in some very serious trekking, but according to the Maasai rules and the government rules. Africa has many more problems than most places because of the national parks system where they closely guard those. Especially in Tanzania, they're very careful.
Well, when you're talking about Africa, what's popped into my mind is an email picture that's circulated a lot, which is of the airstrip where the plane is parked in the middle of the airstrip, and there's the one line of shade underneath the wing,
mm-hmm.
and then on all the lions are laying underneath the wing of the airplane. Have you seen that one, Gary?
Yes,
I'm sure you've all seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that the kind of situation you'd be in an area like that where there's that many lions and that kind
yes,
of stuff?
Yes, we'll be in those sort of situations, but we'll be keeping ourselves safe. We're not going to just go out there. We know someone recently, I have no idea what he was thinking of. He went out and just put his tent up. And well, of course, a pride of lion started to stalk him. He was very surprised. Obviously, he had not done his homework. So he got out of there and came home right away. And that was the end of his journey. But if he'd done some research and figured it out very carefully and planned, then he would have known that you don't do it that way.
Well, and I know there have been some stories out of areas, and I'm not familiar enough with Africa to know, but stories of lions actually, and I remember some tiger stories too, and I don't know where those were out of, but they're actually starting to hunt and prey on humans now.
Oh, the lions, it's not, the tigers are not in the Africa where we're going, but they're...
No, the tigers are someplace else, but tigers are also doing it.
They do the same thing.
But are lions hunting humans now?
The lions will go into the villages and snatch a person.
Yeah.
And they can become very bold. And once they get the taste of that human flesh, they can be very, very dangerous.
It tastes good, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, to them anyway. And, of course, they'll snatch a domestic animal as well. And that's where the poisoning has come in. And that's where there's even talk of the lions being really decimated to such an extent that they'll be endangered.
Wow.
If this poisoning continues.
So that's what they're doing now is what, poisoning a carcass and throwing the carcass out? And
leaving it there, and other lions will come in and eat and die, and other species of animals as well. So it's just such, it's the same old story of humans and wild animals. It's just we encroach on their territory, and then we blame them.
Yeah, we still have so much to learn.
Yes.
And then...
it's quite frustrating for us at times. We see these things happening.
Well, we think of ourselves as the most intelligent species on the planet, but that how intelligent can we be when we're destroying the place?
Well, it certainly makes us wonder when we go out there and see so much destruction.
Yeah.
And when you think of the animals, they don't destroy as a human does. They don't willfully kill or waste. They
don't kill for sport and for fun.
They don't
gather, kill for survival.
They don't go out there to gather in trophies, and they don't... they don't fence land off and cause terrible destruction of animals just because of the fences and these sorts of things. It's we humans who are, we're not adapting ourselves well to the wild animals. We just simply move into their territory, put up our buildings and our roads, infrastructure, and expect the animals to agree
adjust.
With us and adjust.
Yeah.
They must adjust. We don't adjust to them.
Yeah, it's amazing to me where, you know, we destroy the habitat and then move out there and they get really upset because then wild animals are in our backyard.
Yes.
It's like, oh, what's wrong with that picture?
What bothers us a great deal, even in our own area here in Washington, people will move into a country wooded area and there's a black bear turns up and everybody's so excited over this black bear, but you're in their territory.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't the bear turn up? And the worst thing people can do is feed these animals.
Oh, yeah. And
then they wonder why the animals become aggressive. It just doesn't work that way. Raccoons,
yeah.
Apparently there's been a problem with raccoons lately. People feed them and then the raccoons attack.
Yeah, we were just talking about that a couple weeks ago because Sandy's having some problems with raccoons in her area. Because they're holed up in a wood pile in the neighbor's yard,
mm-hmm.
and she's had one dog attacked, and there's some real problems mm-hmm. with us.
We noticed a lot of
Mother Nature.
Young raccoons dead on the roads, roadkill lately. We've noticed a lot of them around the roads. Young ones apparently have not quite learnt that you look left and right before you cross the road.
Yeah, and that would be, well, this would be the time of the year for the young ones because
yes.
they're born during the summer and mm-hmm. so forth. And, yeah, I having been living in Seattle now for the last, you know, number of years, I don't travel the highways out in the country or the roads out in the country as much as I used to. I will be doing that again because I'm moving back.
Mm.
But it's interesting to note that you're seeing more.
More this year than we ever have been before.
Really? Okay.
There must be a lot of raccoons around because there's so many dead on the road. We see them, a lot of them. It's just amazing. But, you know, we've seen more deer dead, too, at the side
really?
Of the road. More deer have been hit. So I don't know what's going on out there. Are they increasing in numbers? Are the raccoons increasing? We don't know. It'd be interesting to know more about that.
So with the African trip, you do need to get permitted by the government to do what you're going to do?
Yes, we need you need to have permits to go into their national parks, and there are rules.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, some of the parks you've simply got to be out by dusk. So they've got to figure out where can you trek, where can you camp, and what are the rules, and what can we do safely. So that's why we're doing this reconnaissance journey first,
okay.
which will, of course, be a full-scale journey because we will come back with...
You said you're just 3 weeks out from leaving
yes,
for this one.
About that.
So are all the, you know, the T's crossed and the I's dotted sort of thing? You've
oh,
got
yes.
everything set up for this trip. So
yes, we never leave half prepared. We always leave. And we expect to come back with a lot of information, a lot of photos, and that to make a basis for going back again. Because we would also like to go into Rwanda with the gorillas.
Oh,
and see what's happening. We want to go to these places. We can read all about it, but we need to see it for ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And what is this drought doing? And the media tells us that people are dying, animals are dying. Well, we need to see that for ourselves because of the media's tendency to exaggerate or dramatize things. We need to find out for ourselves what's really going on.
Well, yeah, and it's absolutely amazing. Now, so you're leaving in 3 weeks. You'll be gone how long on this
about
trip?
About a month.
Mm-hmm. And so let's see, that's going to be, into November when you leave, so you'll be back sometime in December?
Yeah, in the beginning of December we'll be back.
And then you're going back again in February.
We go back to the Western Sahara to live with the Berber tribe.
Well, we better, maybe we can compare our calendars here, like, soon, like after the show today or in this next week, to see if there's any possibility that we can find a Sunday that you're available.
Yes, in December.
In December or January before you go back again, so that you can give us a report, because we really need to have you on here on a more regular basis so you can keep us apprised of
yes,
where you've been and what's going on.
We expect to have some interesting experiences, meet wonderful indigenous people and learn their lifestyles, where they're at with everything, and visit their schools. We're very interested in going into a school and having the schools join our kid-to-kid talk. And so there's a lot to be achieved on these journeys. They're not.
Well, you have such incredible experiences. Like, I'm thinking about the walking the Gobi, and you're in the middle of nowhere out there, and then you find this yurt with these natives, and you're invited in, and you learn. We learn so much from you about the native cultures and the people, and then the animals. Then because you are two of the probably a handful of humans on the planet that have ever seen the Gobi bear.
That's right. Yes, so certainly a very, very few Westerners have ever seen these animals. They say that they think, and underline the word think, there's only about 35 left in the world, and they only live in the Gobi. And they're in desperate situation because of poaching. They are protected, but there's no money to protect them. There's nobody really to do anything for them, and they're just there.
Yeah.
So how long they will last is anybody's guess.
But you actually saw one.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, how cool is that?
And they're small bear, chocolate-covered small bear, the only desert bear in the world. And we just wish there was some way that those animals could be protected properly before they simply have gone.
Yeah, because that's what we're looking at. Well, yeah, I know you have the concern for the polar bear, but are we going to be able to protect them? Hard to know.
It's hard to say because of the disappearing ice.
It sounds like that in terms of thinking that they'll adapt to being land bears rather than sea bears is not likely, because like you said, that there's not enough
too fast
to support the
and not enough on land just to,
yeah,
because they have to compete
them
with
the
grizzlies.
Yeah.
And
all
the
right.
grizzlies are well adapted to the land, which the polar bears are not.
All right, we've got to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in the show, and then we've got another segment to go. So, folks, if there's anything we haven't talked about, if there's something you'd like us to talk with Helen about, now would be the time to call Sandy and let her know. And we can put you on the air, you can tell Sandy, and she can let us know. Local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. Let us know if there's anything else you want to hear about before we let them go. It's so fun to have them. Anyway, stay tuned. Animal Word continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of five. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, including aromatherapy for animals with Joan Sarita of Sarita Body Works on October 3rd and 4th, and animal communication with Polly Klein on October 17th and 18th. Enroll in the distance learning program to prepare for fall classes. For more information, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's the home of mastery in mystery.
War, unemployment, scandal. There's so much bad news out there, sometimes you just gotta laugh.
This Sunday, Vanda Mikulowski shows us the lighter side of life and spirit. And at 8 o'clock, John Welshen's author of One Soul, One Love, One Heart brings us enlightenment from the East.
He'll be on the phone from New Jersey.
Metaphysics with Attitude.
The Gary Mann Show, Sunday at 7 on Alternative Talk 1150.
On the AM band at 1150 and on the FM HD band at 98.5. HD3, Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and I'm sorry to say that we're winding down this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Two of our most popular guests ever are in the studio, Helen and Bill Thayer. We've been talking about where they've been since last time we'd had them here and where they're going, Africa, in 3 weeks, and wanted some input from you guys. So we're going to go right to the phones. First up, it's Anne. Good morning, Anne. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Helen and Bill.
Good morning, Martha and everybody.
Hey.
I just wanted to say a very huge thank you to Helen and her husband for coming out to the Covington Library a couple of weeks ago and doing a marvelous talk with a slideshow. I think we wore her voice out.
So what, you were out at the Covington Library a couple of weeks ago?
That's right,
what
yes.
What program did you do?
It was the Gobi.
You did the Walking the Gobi, and it was really great, Anne, huh?
And it was very, very great. It was well attended. We filled out the parking lot and had to park in the neighborhood, and I was so excited afterwards. Everybody I kept seeing, I said, you should have been there, you should have been there. And I just encourage her and appreciate her wanting to reach out to the youth, to educate the youth in all of these activities that she and her husband participate in.
Uh-huh.
And to let her know that come again to the southeast section of greater Seattle and to... help us know what else we can do to maybe follow her on the web. I don't know if she's going to have any kind of connections as she does her travels or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you Twitter and stuff? Or
no, we don't seem to do those sorts of things. We're so busy out there.
Yeah, I don't either. But I was going to say, if you start Twittering from Africa or something, I'm going to have to learn how to do that, because you'd be the one person, I think, in the world I'd learn to do that.
I don't
that
really
for.
Know much about Twittering, but our webmaster, of course, we will get information up on the website about it and what we see and what we find and photos of it and so forth. But thank you very much for your comments. That was very kind, very generous, and I had a great time. Always have a good time at libraries and schools and all the events that I go to. I speak to all audiences from
kids. Yeah, it's so worth seeing
Helen
and Bill in person. Now, Anne, after hearing all the stories and the treks, were you pretty amazed to see? I mean, 72 and 83 years old, they're pretty amazing, aren't they?
Yes, and I have read and followed. I've read all her books and followed the journeys, and I'm just encouraged. Because I think those of us who are over 50 think we're on the downhill side, but we're not. There's something that all of us can do, no matter what age, to help participate in this journey.
Well, yeah, because I, of course, Helen, you did lots of physical things prior to starting these treks in the adventure classroom and with the Olympics and all that sort of stuff, but your solo trip to the North Pole was really the beginning of this adventure classroom and all of these tracks. And you were 50 years old then.
That's where Adventure Classroom really started.
Yeah.
And I always say that age is no barrier to our dreams and goals. It doesn't matter how old we are. It's what we think and what we think of ourselves and what we expect of ourselves. If we expect to be in the rocking chair, that's exactly where we're going to go. But if we look at the world out there and realize that we have a huge advantage because we are older, overseas cultures respect age, which is an enormous thing for us, an advantage for us. It gets us into places and we can talk to people that younger people would never reach. And besides, you learn over the years, you learn, and we're able to take that experience that we didn't, the experience and the knowledge that we didn't have at 25. So we're actually able to go out there more confident and better prepared than we ever could. And so age is giving us a lot of advantages. So we're happy to get older. It's a good thing.
All right, Anne, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Anne.
Now, I wonder, Anne said it raved so much about the program you put on down in Covington. It's the same program you're doing this week, isn't it?
In REI. I'll be at REI in Issaquah at 7 p.m. on Tuesday night, the 17th of October.
Okay, now I wrote down the 13th, which
the 13th. I made a mistake.
Okay.
It's the 13th of October. This
All
next
right, so
Tuesday.
Folks, if you got excited hearing Anne's report about the program that Helen just did down in Covington, she'll be doing that same Walking the Gobi program this week. It's Tuesday evening, October 13th at REI in Issaquah, 7 p.m. It's free.
Mm-hmm. And books will be available.
All the books will be available. So if you're thinking, man, because, you know, Anne put it so well. I mean, did you hear how excited she was and how motivated after hearing and seeing the program? So, you know, get to Issaquah, REI Issaquah, this Tuesday evening, 7 o'clock, if you possibly can. Now, just before we wrap up here, I just want to mention that one of the things you said, that age is a benefit and that European or other cultures respect age and so forth, which is really nice. But I think it also, you and Bill have developed such an incredible relationship together. Mm-hmm. And it's a big part, I think, about why you guys are still alive and why you're able to do this, because you make a really good team together.
We do. I'm the noisy one. Bill's the quiet one. That's a good relationship. He's smart. I come up with all these ideas and dreams and so forth, and Bill is he's a pretty steady influence there.
But he's the one that knows how to implement the more practical
Yes, and so we go out there, and if it's an emergency, things just get done. And we know that we don't have to stand there telling each other what to do. Things just get done in a timely
manner.
Yeah,
that's what's been amazing when you've been in these harrowing situations. Mm-hmm. On life and death situations,
right.
You've said you don't even have to talk to each other.
No.
You kind of know each other so well and work such a complementary team.
That's right.
That you just kind of know what each other is thinking.
Yes.
And you just do it.
And neither one of us call ourselves a team leader. We're the team, and we both lead together. And so, so it makes us very strong. And so we have the confidence to go out and tackle projects that are really quite difficult at times, but we know that it'll be okay because with the planning and then with the teamwork, it works out fine. And so we've got a whole slew of expeditions to achieve yet, and a few more thousand miles to walk yet. So we'll
72 and 83. My gosh, what an incredible example you are for the rest of us.
They would be surprised at what they too can achieve, because we don't consider ourselves different. It's just that we've found our place in the world and in our path through life. And but we're just really ordinary people. Other people, it's amazing. People are just, some people don't understand how amazing they really are. And if they think about it, they'll really realize that they could do great things.
Well, on behalf of the animal kingdom and Mother Earth and everybody out there, thank you for the incredible work that you do. I'm so excited that we had today. We'll look at getting you back after this Africa trip so we can get an update soon. Folks, remember Tuesday evening, the 13th, that's this next Tuesday evening at the Issaquah REI at 7 p.m. Helen will be doing the Walking the Gobi
presentation.
So be there. And I just thank you for taking the time this morning to be here. I really appreciate
it. Definitely
been
my pleasure.
Always motivate me. Yeah, and I'll have to remember that when I'm, if I start to whine about moving and all of that, I'll have to, at least I'm
just
not on the
me a
North
call.
Pole. Yeah, I'll call Helen and you can slap me around. All right, I'll let you know as soon as we get Helen booked for her next visit. Thank you very much. And let me remind you, next week, be here. It's a twist on Vet Sunday. Philip Marshall, author of Barn Politics Murder Mystery, will be here, and that's really Dr. Mike Saluski. So we'll find out all about that. We're giving away books and probably doing some vet stuff too, so I hope you'll join us. Gary, thank you anyway. Sandy, thank you. I think I'm calling Benny this week. And I guess all that's left is for me to remind you that animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, share your love with all living things, and please be here next week. Because we'll talk to you again then.